The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
How many here remember the first time you dove off the high dive at some public swimming pool? How many? How many can remember? How many of you have never dove off the high dive at a public swimming pool? I can remember the first time that I did. And I can remember how scared I was. My dad had said, you know, Mike, you should probably try that. And it was just everything that I had to, because I could see down to the bottom of the pool, and it was scary. And there's something about the dive, stepping off the platform, that just instills this fear. You want to do it. You want to do it so bad. But there's just something within you that you're just scared. A number of years ago, me and a couple of buddies, we decided that we were going to skydive together. And so we did what everybody had to do in that day, and that is there's some ground training. And in that time, there was 3 hours. So we had to actually practice jumping off a 3-foot-high ramp, and then we would have to learn how to roll as we landed on the ground. And we practiced that. We went through Mae West. They called that when a line over the parachute, they called that the Mae West. If you get a Mae West, it's a bad thing. And a Mae West is something we learned very quickly. We don't want to see a Mae West, because that means you've got to, what they say, cut away, and you've got to use your reserve. That scared me. But I wanted to skydive. So the three of us, we were talking quite bravado about this whole thing, and realized that, of course, the 3 hours are up. Now we have to get into the plane. And in this particular plane, the way that it worked is there was an open door, and you side saddled the door when it was your turn to get out and do your dive. And the two guys that I was with, they were really afraid to be by the door. So that left me, and I had to be by the door. And I'm telling you, honestly, like, you got a lot of gear. You got your coveralls. You got your parachute front, back, but your reserve. And this is another thing that they really warned us about, and that is you always got to keep your hand over the reserve handle. Because if you get that hooked on something, you know, that thing's going to open up while you're in the air, and that's going to rip you through the side of the... Anyway, it's just, they painted the story enough that I didn't want my hand to leave the side of my reserve. Which means I'm sitting beside this door as this plane's taking off with, like, that's it. But my hand is here, and I don't know how to steady myself, and I'm scared. And so we were kind of going and flying around and doing these turns, and it was a small plane. And I remember looking at my two buddies, and you could tell in our eyes, we were scared. I was scared. I was scared. And, you know, it was fine in the end. No Mae West. So that was good, and it was just a matter of just kind of doing what you were told to do, and we did. There's something about that initial step off the platform that I think we want to just come alongside what Jesus is saying in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I wonder if, you know, as we pick up what it is that he is saying to us today, if he didn't see some fear in the eyes of the people that he was talking to. See, last week, what Jesus was saying, we were looking at this whole thing of treasure. He was talking about the importance of making sure that whatever you do, do not give yourself solely to the investment of earthly treasures. We were told where moth and rust destroy, where thieves come in and steal. But make sure you focus on heavenly treasures. And we lifted that because that's counterintuitive, isn't it? It is for me. When I think of things and things that I enjoy and stuff that I want in my life, it's earthly. It's things. It's stuff. It's, well, Jesus is saying, be careful now. Because if you get it wrong, you'll somehow think earthly treasures are going to deliver something. Earthly treasures never can. They can't satisfy your soul. Now, how would you feel if Jesus were here and he was saying that to you? and you were really getting it clear as to what it was that meant for you. Tell you what that means for me. It'd be like I was on a platform. It'd be like I was about to bungee jump. It'd be like I was on the high dive. And Jesus is saying, go ahead and jump. Because it's the right thing to do. Go ahead and jump. Even though you're scared, go ahead and jump. Because it will be what you need. And so I've titled this morning's message, Don't Worry, Take the Kingdom Dive. And so I want us to just really understand that, you know, as we go through this passage, there's something of a reaction, I think, that the listeners of Jesus are demonstrating. And I think it's one of fear. Because I think it would be fear that I would be demonstrating as well. And so as we're talking about the platform and what keeps us from moving forward, it's worry. As we think about mission and giving ourselves to mission, what is it? What is it that keeps us from wanting to take a step off the platform? It's fear. It's worry. It's concern. It's anxiety. It's a lot of things. And so I think what Jesus would just simply say is, okay, everybody, we understand worry, fear is a powerful emotion. And if we're not careful, it can short circuit a leap of faith that would be so fulfilling. And so Jesus says, let's suppose you push past worry. You push past the hesitancy of going off that platform. Because Jesus would say, I want you to enjoy the free fall. I want you to enjoy every second of that free fall, diving into my kingdom and what that might be. And Jesus would say, oh, okay, as you're going through the air, as you're free falling, here's some ideas, six ideas that I think might really help you to understand you've done the right thing. You don't have to worry. You do not need to worry. You can enjoy taking a dive into the kingdom life. So let's take just from Matthew chapter 6, and this is going to complete the sixth chapter of Matthew, and next week we'll carry on with chapter 7. But here's verse 25, this whole context of, if you take the kingdom dive, don't worry. Listen to Jesus' words. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing? First real reason that Jesus wants us to understand is we're more than bodies. We're more than just the human metaphysical body. We are. I mean, if all we got was 70 years and then we were done, I guess it would then make some sort of sense to just pay attention to the body. But Jesus says, you're more than that. You're far more than that. I mean, your body is not your ultimate reality. If you think it is, you better really pay attention to it. Jesus is saying it's not. It is not just the body. There's so much more. God's given you a soul. He's given you a will. He's given you emotions. He's given you personality. He's given you affections. He's given you feelings. He's given you so much more from just the outside shell of our body. And so God has gone to great, enormous trouble to redeem and to renew all of the inner, all of the most precious, the most significant, the most complex pieces of who you and I are. God has gone to great lengths to make sure that our insides are nurtured and cared for. Gave his son, Jesus Christ, to allow there to be a coming together, a relationship. I mean, God has gone to such lengths, hasn't he? To guard and provide for the most precious. It's the insides. And so Jesus is just saying, he says, you know, you're just so much more than a body. And if God takes such great lengths at taking care of the insides in your soul and your spirit, and bringing passion through the way that it is that you're wired, don't you think, don't you know, it's a cakewalk for God to provide food and drink and a shelter. I mean, that's just easy. I mean, God, he's done the most complex work inside. You're more than a body. There's far more going on. God's transformed you are in my heart. And just to see that if he's taking care of that, it's really easy for God to take care of daily food, daily drink, daily shelter. It's just within his heart to do so. And so as you're doing that free fall, Jesus just says, you're way more than a body. Second thing he says is in verse 26, look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Second reason Jesus was really given for you and I to enjoy, if we step off that platform, I mean, we're more valuable than birds. I know that's profound. But when is the last time, friends, think about it, when's the last time you were just walking around and you saw a bird in full flight all of a sudden just crash to the ground because it ran out of fuel? Like, when's the last time you've ever seen that? I mean, really. I've never, ever seen a bird actually come down and land on a bull. I've never seen a bird lack fuel for flight. And so God is just simply saying, you know, they don't stockpile. They don't even go into, they just find the food that they require for this day. And then tomorrow, they worry about that then. They'll get their food then. Daily food for the bird so that it's doing okay. I mean, God cares for birds. Jesus is reminding us of that. I mean, birds matter to God. And Jesus is just wanting us to really not miss the punchline. You and I matter far more than birds. So as we're doing that free fall, Jesus would say, hey, don't worry, take the kingdom dive. You'll be okay. Step off the platform. It'll be all right. I mean, don't quit your job and get sloppy with your money and all that, but don't fret over things God is going to help you with. God cares for you. God cares for me. Birds are wonderful. They're valuable. They're just not image bearers like you and I are. When God created you and I, he created us in the image of God. And what that means, there's a soul and there's something within us that only human beings have been given. Birds are great. It's just they're just not as valuable as you and I. And Jesus says, take the free fall, step off. Take the dive, it'll be okay. You're far more valuable than birds. Third thing Jesus says is in verse 27, and which of you by worrying can add even 1 hour to his life? Point here, worry doesn't bring positive outcomes. Never does, never can, never will. And I think that Jesus is just kind of lightening things up here a little bit. He's asking for a little bit of a feedback because he asks the question this way, saying, hey, how many of you here, I mean, you just commit yourself wholeheartedly to the ministry of worry and anxiety. Have you been able to change one single thing? Have you been able to actually bring about something good? I mean, just throw yourself at worry. What's the outcomes? Jesus says, hey, those of you, you want to live longer. You got a bad report from the doctor and you want to live. Have you found that your worry has added a week, a month, a year, anything to your life just because of worry? And that's the question that Jesus is asking. I mean, the truth of the matter is that worry only causes damage, doesn't it? I mean, it's hard for me. It's hard for us to sometimes not worry. We get concerned about things, don't you? I do. And yet Jesus' words here are just so right. He says, don't worry. Because there's nothing positive that is ever going to be produced. So why do it? Let it go. To which I say, oh man, I want to. I really do. I've decided as much as I can when things are just coming at me and I'm feeling like my worry levels up or my stress levels up, I have to find myself praying like out loud by myself, God, my life is in your hands. And there's nothing that I can do about this anyway. And what I try to do is I try to convert the energy that is going into worry convert that into a kind of a focused, faith-filled prayer. Use the worry almost to be the fuel by which I would pray a prayer that would say, God, this is way more than I can even sort out. So I am not going to worry about this. I am going to pray a faith-filled prayer. Because I can't fix what it is, or I can't conclude what the answer is going to be. I can't solve the riddle. I don't know. And I am not going to worry. And what happens when we say that? Usually we worry a little bit more. But I find another helpful thing for me is just coming alongside of people that I can pray with along those lines, where I can share, you know, I'm worried about this. And to have a brother or sister say, well, let's pray about that. Let's lift that to God. Let's lay that worry aside. You're scared, aren't you? You're scared. You're on the platform and you feel so concerned. And maybe some of you today, you'd like a prayer opportunity like that today. At the end of the service, you'll have a chance. If there's something in your life right now where you're just stressing out, you're worried, you don't know what's going to happen, you may want to come alongside of someone and just say, you know, I've got worry going on. And you may want to get specific about it. You may not. That's okay. But to have somebody take the energy of that worry, convert it into a faith-filled prayer, might serve you well today. That's three. Here's the fourth thing Jesus says in verse 28. It says, why do you worry about clothing? Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow is tossed into the fire to heat the oven, won't he clothe you even more, you people of little faith? I think what Jesus is saying here is, as you and I, we decide to take a step off the platform and take the kingdom dive, he would just say, make sure you remember, you last longer than flowers. You last longer than flowers. I mean, somehow we need to understand that we are within God's care. True. You and I. We are within the care of God. And when we forget that, Jesus says, look at the flowers. When you and I, we get fuzzy on our remembrance of that we actually are cared for by God, Jesus says, you need to stare at some of the most beautiful things. Look at a flower. Take the time to just stare at a flower. Jesus says, you know, Solomon had resources. Solomon had an awful lot going for him. We lifted the story of Solomon a little bit last week. Jesus says, you know, Solomon really liked to dress nice. Solomon was the kind of a guy, he liked to dress to the nines. I mean, he really liked to be styling. And he had the resources to really do it well. And Jesus says, as good as Solomon was, and Solomon was good, as fine, as fashionable, as on top of everything that one human being can be, flowers win. Flowers win the contest. The flowers, hands down, are far more beautiful than Solomon and all of his attempts could be. What else is fascinating, I think, about Jesus just using this imagery of a flower is just simply this. They don't fret. A flower doesn't fret about how a flower looks. A flower just simply yields and allows God just dress them beautifully. No fret, no concern, no worry. Jesus says, look at the flower. So because Jesus says this, you know, a flower comes and a flower looks beautiful and in a moment it's gone. And God takes such time and care and attention to flowers. Jesus says, don't you think? Don't you know that if, you know, God wills in your life that you have 50, 60, 70, 80 years, I don't know, that God's going to care for you? You last longer than a flower. God is going to care for you. So don't worry. Don't worry, Jesus would say. Take the kingdom dive. Don't hesitate a moment because of clothes. Here's number five, found in verse 31. So then don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the unconverted pursue these things. And listen to this. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is saying, as you step off that platform and you're free falling, diving into the kingdom life, just know you have a loving heavenly Father. You have a loving heavenly Father. People that do not have God in their life, people that do not have a loving heavenly Father, boy, oh boy, oh boy, they need to then kind of move through life with a focus to make sure that they do not lose on the needs that they think that they require. I mean, they're on their own. Jesus would say, boy, you know, that must be a challenging way to do it. You don't have a heavenly Father that's looking out for you. It's almost like Jesus is saying, if you do not move toward God in that kind of way, you're like an orphan. But Jesus is saying, you are not an orphan. You have a loving, heavenly dad. And what a good dad does is take a bullet to make sure that his children cared for. Isn't that true? I mean, as a good dad, he'll turn over heaven and earth to make sure your children are cared for. That's what a good dad does. You provide, you care for, you make sure shelter's there, you make sure they're safe. That's what a good dad does. And so our kids, they don't have to worry about clothes. They don't have to worry about food. How much more so our Heavenly Father? So Jesus is just saying, you know, I know you're scared. I know. We've been talking about this whole thing of treasures, and earthly treasures are so tangible. They're so easy to see, and they seem to bring such a security, but it oversells itself. And they don't satisfy your soul. And so I know that you guys have got some precious things in your life, and they're earthly in a sense. Not that God is against that. It's just that when we bank on those earthly treasures to give us something they can't, we'll be disappointed. And so the reality of that truth brings fear. And that's what Jesus is just trying to lift. Make sure that you don't take the dive because of the fear. Let's address some of those fears. You can't not step off that platform. And so we've got a number of things that are to our advantage as we take a step of obedience off that platform. And again, this being a Sunday where we're lifting mission, where we're lifting opportunities, I want to invite Bruce back up, and he's going to share with us a couple of more as to some of the things we support in this church and opportunities that maybe might really resonate with you as you step off. Come on up, Bruce. As you step off this platform, taking this opportunity to move towards something that might be a little bit scary. But again, don't worry. God really, you know, is just encouraging you and I, take the kingdom dive. So let's just give Bruce our attention. He's going to lift a few more, and then I'll share the last point that Jesus makes in this passage.
I love the song that we sang a little earlier, Freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. And if Christ has touched our hearts and our lives, we've experienced that. The West Side Food Bank began as the first food bank in the Okanagan, and it serviced people all the way from Oliver and Oyama would drive up to get stuff from the food bank. And food banks have grown, and I think there is a stat now that there are more food banks in North America than there are McDonald's, which speaks something about our society. The West Side Food Bank works to minister to people who are unemployed or underemployed, who have trouble putting meals on their table, having trouble feeding their families. And for some of us, that's really hard to imagine, and for some of us, that's pretty easy to imagine. And the Westside Food Bank has done this for years out of an ATCO trailer, and this year God has blessed them by helping them find a duplex so they have ample storage for the supplies that come in. But they're also able to expand their program now. And they want to move beyond just kind of passing out parcels of food to people. And one of the plans they have for this area is just to have kind of a coffee area where when people are waiting, they can just hang out and visit and build relationships and talk and share and build community that way. They also plan to use their facility to start to train people in how to prepare food. They feel that if they can teach people how to better prepare the food that they receive, it can go further and last longer. And they also want to branch out their ministry into teaching people about budgeting and how to manage their money a little bit more effectively. So those are three amazing things that God is already doing in the food bank. One of the great things that we as Sunrich have been able to do for a number of years is host the food bank Christmas, or food bank, the Christmas food bank banquet? Food bank banquet? Anyway, I forget the official title, obviously. But this year, I leapt into the deep and thought, well, I'm going to try and do something and be a server and go and be part of that. And so it was really cool. Just finding little jobs and serving people as they came through and talking to people a little bit out in the hall and just building some connections. It's all, you know, I didn't make a lifelong friend that I go to movies with out of that, but I know that my heart was touched, and I know that I was able to make somebody smile and bless them in some way. How can your small group, or how can you or your family get involved in supporting the food bank? Well, obviously, there are always things like dropping off food and giving financially. One of the programs they're trying to do, because they have this new facility, is adopt a mortgage payment. And a mortgage payment is $1,800, about that. And they're encouraging churches or individuals or small groups to get together and say, you know what? We're going to pay a mortgage payment and help to pay down the mortgage on this facility. Another one. Sorry, I'm trying not to use my notes, but I have to. Another one is to become part. They're with the expanded facility, they now have rooms. They'd like to try and have once a month have a small group come in and even just sit there and have coffee with people. Or you could prepare stuff or hand stuff out if you're interested in maybe teaching people about nutrition and how to cook some of the food that's there. There are those opportunities, and that kind of mentorship is all available. Lastly, if you love golfing, there is a golf tournament coming up in August, and you can either participate or sponsor a hole, or you could help to organize that and pick up some stuff for that. So that's for the food bank. It's kind of cool. Brian Hawkins, Brian and Noble and I, about a year ago, we went to help a lady do some work on her trailer, and she had kind of, her need had kind of arisen out of her visit to the food bank. She's kind of has those phobias of leaving the security of her home, but she has to go get some food, and so out of that, through a discussion, they discovered that she had these needs, and so we went and we did a bunch of work, you know, with her trailer to kind of bring it up, and just she was so amazingly grateful. Like she just thanked us and over and over and fed us. But a little bit, you know, we felt guilty taking her food, but she just wanted to bless us back. I have a friend named Shane, and I changed his name so that to protect his privacy. But Shane is kind of one of those stories that you hear about, and he grew up in the Maritimes, and as a child, he was abused. And this kind of led him to kind of, he was abused by someone in the church. And he kind of really started to question God and question life and question decisions and family. And he fell into using alcohol and became addicted to drugs and moved out west to escape some problems that he had back home.
Well, that's awkward. Sermon got cut off because we had a problem with our recording equipment. So really sorry about that. Hope you enjoyed the part that you heard. And we will try to get this figured out and fix it for the future. Okay? Have a great day.